Well, good evening, listeners, and welcome along to another edition of Ireland Calling, broadcasting here out of the Planet FM studio in Auckland on a Wednesday night. Our delayed broadcast going out on Plains FM in Christchurch, Access Radio Wellington and Kapiti Coast Radio. And greetings to people listening on planetaudio.org.nz around New Zealand and indeed around the world. Oliver Lee is my name, and the programme, as always, has been brought to you by the support of the Hugh Green Group. And we're celebrating a bit of a birthday tonight. Now, there's no champagne, there's no flowers, there's no chocolates or anything here. I'm here in a studio on my own, but I'm going to link up with some people that I've been linking up with on the programme for many years over the next hour. We're going to cross to Donegal in a few minutes to link up with Charlie Collins. Then we'll go to Dublin to speak to Angus McAnally. And then we're going down some part of Ireland where another Donegal man, Daniel O'Donnell, is touring. And then we're going to Kerry to finish the programme to speak to Micheál Murathaigh. And it's appropriate because the All-Ireland Hurling Final is coming up this weekend between Kilkenny and Tipperary. So we'll look back at that. And I'll be having a chat to all of these. And indeed, to my first guest in a few minutes, Rodney Walsh, the former Honorary Consul General of Ireland, who approached me to start this programme almost 30 years ago, completing 30 years on air here tonight. So wherever you're listening, hope you can sit back and relax and enjoy some good chat as we reminisce and look back here as we celebrate 30 years of Ireland Calling on the programme. And the first song that I played when Gary McCormick was my guest here was Mary Black singing a song for Ireland. So we'll dig that up here now and we'll play that. And when we come back after this, we'll be speaking to Rodney Walsh.
What the people are saying half the time, I'm so far gone, not a word gets in. I'm here, you're there, all right, but I just want to tell you, Roisin. Which side of the coin we show is open to debate. Either way, I accept what the wind brings. I'm here, you're there, okay, so I just want to tell you, Roisin.
Yes, well, that is Mary Black, but it's not a song for that later on, but it's listed down as a song for Ireland. But definitely, I've got my first guest on the programme tonight, a man that I met just over 30 years ago. And I used to go into the Dingwall building in Queen Street because before the internet or anything like that, the Irish Times, every issue of the Irish Times, daily issue, was there and people used to go in to read it. And it was there that I met the former Honorary Consul General, Rodney Walsh, and who said he'd received a letter from the Access radio station manager, Leona Bresnahan, to see if there'd be anybody interested in putting an Irish radio programme together. So that's where it started, Rodney. You're to blame for 30 years of me being on radio here.
Absolutely. Worst decision I ever made.
But yes, I remember, you know, times were a bit different then. It was about $6 a minute to ring home to Ireland. You got the Irish Times, I'm pretty sure, every issue of every day, and you put it out there after you read it, and Irish people went in and read them in the reception area.
Yeah, and then from there, at the end of the week, a copy would be sent up to the Irish Society, and they read it. But then, of course, the news was about two weeks stale. But nonetheless, they were all there reading it and cutting pieces out in the waiting room when I wasn't looking.
Yeah, well, I remember being sitting there and reading and checking the sport, and I had been doing a small little bit of work with Murray Deaker updating Irish sport. In fact, I used to get the information from the Irish Times about Six Nations, and I think you'd heard me, and you said to me, Oliver, I just got a letter. I think it was Leona Bresnan at Access Radio, and said they'd love to get the Irish community broadcasting.
Yeah, well, Access Community Radio, they were trying to get all countries with some presence in Auckland to have a program. So I was interested in that when I read it, and you were there, and I had a chat with you, and then we got hold of Liam and Patrick.
That's right, yeah. And of course, we started off, it was on every second Sunday. It was on the old sports radio networks. I think it was 882. So you had a half an hour on a Sunday, and then you were back again if there was no cricket game two weeks later. But it's established and took off, and, you know, eventually then it became weekly. And as you're right, Lord have mercy and Liam helped, and Patrick Flynn, and of course later Niamh McMahon, Sheila McCabe, and John Broderick, and Bob Ferguson.
That's right.
We had two programs going with Images of Ireland as well. But Rodney, you were Honorary Consul General here for 39 years. You've seen lots of changes in your time in New Zealand. If you were to pick out two or three key things within the Irish community in New Zealand over the last, we'll say, 30 years, what would they be, Rodney?
I would say the strengthening of the Irish societies right through the country. I mean, when I was appointed, believe it or not, there were three pseudo-Irish societies. Well, not pseudo. There was the Irish Society, then there was a business group that would call themselves the Irish, and then there was, of course, the Ulster societies, very divided. But they all came together. Once there was a catalyst, and the radio station was one of the catalysts, the Irish Times was another, and having a consulate in Auckland was another. So that, to me, was the major. And then the second one was how the high improved profile of Ireland and the Irish throughout the country is, as many of the early immigrants to New Zealand from Ireland were, it brought up in poverty and lacked education. And as I would say at the time, a lack of education doesn't mean a lack of intelligence. And that's how Ireland, in many ways, has excelled throughout the world, with their intelligence, but not necessarily because of education. So that was, how many have I said?
You have two, you have one more.
Bring
a sporting one in there, Rodney. There has to be something with a sporting connection that you were excited about in the last 30 years.
Well, it was only recently that we've beaten the All Blacks. But we used the rugby as a major way, because I also was appointed to represent Bord Fáilte, as it was then. And Ireland was trying to get onto the Nintage, and certainly down in this area. And the best way I felt to get them, no use giving them brochures and sending Sell Ireland. We'd get two groups of New Zealand travel agents.
Yes.
And we'd escort them to Ireland, one going a week ahead of the other. And in between, we'd meet at the rugby test at Lansdowne Road. And all of a sudden, all of the leading travel agents, the managers or the senior managers or supervisors, all of them had been to Ireland over a period of time. And that really established us. And we were outperforming Australia per capita with the tourist growth from any country to Ireland.
Mm, well, it's been good. Now, before I let you go, because I've got to go all around, and the world has been great to see the developments of the Irish community. Of course, we've got the new ambassador here now for a year, Peter Ryan, has said to you, we've had presidential visits, but something that's very close to your heart is Irish dancing, and congratulations, because Ciara, your granddaughter, she's flying the Irish flag high over there in Ireland, and more recently in the United Kingdom, winning the English National Championship. So congratulations to you, and indeed to everybody there. It's a fantastic achievement.
I think you should congratulate the father and the mother.
Exactly. Well,
it wasn't so much me.
You can pass it on. Rodney, great to talk to you. Sorry I can't talk to you longer, but I have to go all around.
Congratulations on your semi-centenary or whatever it is. Really, it takes a lot of determination and just sheer cussedness to keep going every week, every month, every year, and maintain. maintain a high profile. So well done, Oliver.
Good man, Rodney. And we'll play Dublin in the rear all times for you. You're a proud Dubliner. And let's hope that we see another Irish victory over the All Blacks before too long. World Cup final, Rodney.
I hope to be there.
God bless, Rodney. Bye now. That was Rodney Walsh. We're going to quickly head to Highland Radio in Donegal in about 3 minutes and link up with Charlie Collins, who we've linked up with many, many times.
That once was part of Dublin in the rare old time. Ring a rosy as the light declines. I remember Dublin city in the rare old times. Oh, me name it is Sean Dempsey. Dublin as could be, born hard and late in Pimlico, in a house that ceased to be. By trade I was a cooper, lost out to redundancy, like my house that fell to progress, my trade's a memory. And I courted Peggy Dignam, as pretty as you please. I rogue and a child of Mary, from the rebel liberties. I lost her to a student chap, with skin as black as coal, when he took her off to Birmingham. She took away my soul.
Yes, well, that's Ronnie Drew there and the Dubliners. And before that, we start the programme off speaking to the former Honorary Consul General Rodney Walsh, who approached me to start an Irish radio programme 30 years ago, just completing 30 years. And for probably the best part of 20 years, one of our regular links a few times a year, well, quite a few times a year, was to, a man that used to run Highland Radio in Donegal, Charlie Collins. And I'm delighted to say that he's joining us this morning from Letterkenny to have a chat and look back at some of the highlights that he's seen in his time over the last 30 years. Charlie, good morning and welcome to Ireland Calling.
Good morning, Oliver. Delighted to be invited on this memorable occasion. And I was just thinking there, Mr. Walsh was a very wise man, Oliver, to ask you to do this show. And congratulations on 30 years. Fantastic achievement.
Yeah, well, it's hard to believe. And you know what it's like being involved in broadcasting. You've done it for so most of your life as well. You're bringing communities together. And this programme here has brought what's happening in Ireland to the airwaves here in New Zealand. And, you know, from my point of view, I remember linking up with you after the terrible atrocity of Oma. You broadcast a mass from Bunkana for two of the young people that were killed. We remember linking up with you as celebrations were happening after Donegal won finals. So when you look back, Charlie, some of the things that in the last 30 years, what would be one or two of the key things that you think that has, been worthwhile in Irish relations?
Yeah, well, obviously, Oliver, you mentioned the Oma situation, and I suppose the whole Northern Ireland scenario has been incredible to watch, really, from where we came from to where we got to where we are now. And unfortunately, we had the negative, the positive, and now something like the negative again with this whole Brexit situation and the uncertainty about what's going to happen and one thing and another, because I suppose I'm old enough to have gone through a situation where I remember travelling unobstructed to Northern Ireland, then a period where you couldn't go without being stopped at least once, maybe twice or three times, to a completely free situation then of travelling back. You wouldn't have known there was a border there. And now we have this scenario, potentially this scenario, where we're going to have a hard border again. Very disappointing. So there was bad times and good times. The Oma situation, because it was so close to our heart at the time, Oliver, if you remember, because P.O. McCann, one of our presenters' daughter, was caught up in that. Now, thankfully, she survived. But it came very close to us, and Oma's only an hour's drive from Letterkenny, where I'm sitting at the moment, you know. So that was an incredible period that over that number of years. Obviously, Donegal won in the All-Ireland in 1992. We'd only gone on air on Highland Radio in 1990, so that was an incredible experience to be able to broadcast that, and I did the commentary on it along with the now manager, actually. Well, back at that time, he's now the manager, Declan Boner, watching him playing in 1992, and myself and Michael McGee had the honour of commentating on that. But just the way our county has progressed as well, Donegal, you know, has become a place where there's so much positivity about it. The Wild Atlantic Way has brought more and more people to Donegal because we've joked about this in the past, Oliver, but we were and tended to be an isolated county because the road infrastructure to Donegal was very poor. It still could be improved, but it's much better than it was. But, you know, we've had a lot of big events here in Donegal, and I know you're going to have Daniel on the show this morning as well. He's been an incredible ambassador for us, selling the county. So there's been a lot of good things happening, and, you know, at the same time, there's things that could be improved as well. But I suppose that's, you could say that about any part of the world, Oliver. There's things that have happened that are good, and other things that have happened that maybe have been disappointing.
And of course, there's strong connections between Donegal and New Zealand. Earlier on this evening, I was on my way in, and John Green rang me to say he'd be tuned in tonight. Of course, John's brother Hugh, Hugh Forston, and the company for nearly the last 20 years have been sponsoring this program. And I know for until the year before he died, Hugh went back to Ireland every summer and loved going back to Letterkenny and loved putting you know, New Zealand on the map over there and promoting Ireland down here.
Very much so, and it's money. Best wishes to John. I see him regularly when he's, and Hugh was a great friend of ours as well, and used to visit us regularly, as you say. And he used to come for the Letterkenny reunion and the folk festival. And interestingly, they've revitalised the folk festival. Now it's a much smaller event coming up in a couple of weeks' time than it was back in the heady days. But it's great to see it. There's a 4-day folk festival taking place in Letterkenny, and Hugh would have loved that. Coming back and meeting old friends. And even the Letterkenny reunion in those days, Oliver, people came from all over the world, people who'd gone away when it wasn't easy to get back home again. And every 3 years we had this reunion and so many people came home. And unfortunately, it's lost its mojo a little bit now because a lot of those people have passed on, and the younger people are able to get back now whenever they want, Oliver. So there's a different sort of a synergy to it now that young fellas can come twice a year if they want from America or Australia, or once a year from Australia or New Zealand or whatever. So those were happy days as well, seeing those people coming back and what it meant to them to come back and how they felt about having to go away and hearing those stories. And fantastic time.
And just finally, before we finish up, Donegal this year almost beat Donegal. Maybe he probably might have done a bit better than Mayo last week against Dublin. But obviously, you know, Donegal football this year, pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good this last 2 years. I mean, we've won the Ulster Championship with a young side. I know there's still some of the guys there from 2012, obviously. Neil McGee and Michael Murphy and Frank McGlynn and Leo McAloon and people like that. But a young crowd of players have come in now that Declan Boner had at minor level and under 21 level. And I think we will make an impression over the next few years. We were unfortunate, not making excuses, Oliver. We picked up injuries at the wrong time. We went through the Ulster Championship campaign with no injuries and then all of a sudden got into the Super 8s. We picked up several injuries to key players like Owen Van Gallagher and Neil McGee and Paddy McGrath. And, you know, and I think we would have beaten Kerry in Croke Park had Hugh McFadden and Jason McGee not been injured and Niall O'Donnell got a black card. So they went against us. Now, listen, we were well beaten in Mayo, in fairness to them. They were better than us on the day, more intensity. I'm not a big fan of the Super 8s, I have to say, Oliver, because I suppose the best way to summarise it is Mayo went out of the championship at the weekend with their third defeat. Tyrone went out of the championship with their third defeat. Donegal were beaten once in the championship and went out and didn't get to a semi-final. So there's something wrong with the structure of the Super 8s when that happens. But we're always hopeful in Donegal, Oliver. As Moses, like you guys in Galway,
we went out. Well. Our hurlers went out on goal difference or points difference this year, which was something
right.
New. And in a word, the drive for five, do you think Kerry will stop them?
I don't think so, Oliver. I think Dublin are a different they're on a different planet, I think, to everybody else, and it's understandable. I remember Aston Martin McHugh, who's a good friend of mine, the former Donegal All-Ireland winner, if he didn't manage Donegal, what other county would he manage? And immediately, and this has gone back maybe 10 years, he said to me, Dublin. Now, Dublin weren't doing anything great at that stage, Oliver, and I said to him, Dublin, why Dublin? And he said, Charlie, with the population they have and the number of people playing football, you have to be able to get 30 players that are going to dominate and win All-Irelands for you. And he was absolutely right. Jim Gavin's come in there. Whatever he's doing, he's got the right formula. And they're under 20 team this year. Very good as well, Oliver. I know they were beaten in the end-up, but there's an Archer guy there playing for them. An incredible footballer. Listen, if anybody can do it, Kerry can do it. They've started the old story, Oliver. They don't want David Goff refereeing it. And everybody's on board telling us why they shouldn't referee it. So don't rule Kerry out, but I think it's 5 in a row for Dublin.
Well, Big Tom is coming in here singing the Four Roads to Glenamedy. I'm sure you danced to him many's a time at carnivals. Charlie, great to
many's
talk to you. And thank you for all the links you've made to us down through the years. God bless.
Love it, darling. Congratulations again, Oliver.
Thank you, Charlie.
Four dusty roads, forever in the caverns of my mind. Once in a while, I hear the sound of music in the winter night. I see now and then the trees where we shattered from the rain. Once in a while, I see us walking home in the morning light. And oft are the time I long to see my hometown once again.
Yes, well, you're listening to a special edition of Ireland Calling. There's Big Tom with the Four Roads at Glenamedy, where I went to school and where 40 years ago today I got my Leaving Cert results. So well done to everybody in Ireland who got the Leaving Cert results yesterday, and celebrations, I'm sure, are continuing. And as Charlie said there, the football finals, semi-finals at the weekend, Dublin too good for Mayo and Tyrone beaten by Kerry. So the All-Ireland football final will be between Dublin, who are heading for 5 in a row, and Kerry, and the hurling final coming up this weekend between Kilkenny and Tipperary, and we'll have a bit of a chat about that when we link up to Micheál Mórahertig later on in the programme. Up next, we're going to go to Dublin and speak to Angus McAnally. Angus used to present a programme called Both Sides Now. I was a guest on that a few times, and here is Glyn Campbell singing Both Sides Now to take us over to Ireland.
Flows and flows of angel hair, ice cream castles in the air, and feathered canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that way, and now they only block the sun. They rain and snow on everyone. So many things I could have done, the clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow it's clouds illusion recalls. I really don't know clouds at home. Moons and Junes and Ferris wheels, dizzy dancing.
Well, that's Glyn Campbell there with a song called Both Sides Now, and hopefully you're enjoying a bit of Both Sides Now on the programme, because I'm broadcasting out of the Planet FM studio in Auckland on a Wednesday night. We're going out to Wellington and Christchurch on Saturday night, and around the globe on planetaudio.org.nz, celebrating 30 years on air here tonight, and we're having a chance to link up with some people that I've broadcast on their shows over the years, and one was a programme called Both Sides Now, which was produced and presented by my next guest, Angus McAnally, and I was lucky enough to be on the show with him when I started off my broadcasting career down here, and he's joining us from Dublin this morning. Angus, good morning and welcome to Ireland Calling.
Well, first of all, congratulations on a fantastic run of 30 years presenting your program, and you're one of the best that I've ever come across, and your joy and your passion and your love of Ireland and all things Irish, and also the new Ireland and the travelling Irish and the people who've gone to the four corners of the globe is fantastic, and I applaud you, and every congratulations from Ireland.
Good man, Angus, appreciate that and appreciate all the help that you've given me down through the years to promote the program. But I do remember about 1991, I was at home. I was going around the country telling everybody about this radio program, but you interviewed me, and I think you gave me about a half an hour, and you even played Big Tom, the four roasted Lenny for me on the program. You've been involved in broadcasting for a long time and bringing communities together, so you know what it's like for people from Ireland and immigrants to be able to keep that link with home.
It's so critically important, and it's amazing. I've come across so many people over the years who, when the home place might say, oh, I like heavy metal music and rock and this, that and the other, and you put them away from home for 6 months and they're sitting in the bedsit, their apartment, that they start singing The Four Roads, or they start singing with the Galway Shawl, or the, you know, the home place is such an intrinsic part of being Irish. I think a bit like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, when she taps her head and said, there's no place like home. And while I think it's wonderful that people can go and establish themselves in different parts of the world, some part of you, I think it's in your DNA, that innate feeling of, where do you come from? Where was I born? Where was my family? And I think to have that love of Ireland. And last week we lost a wonderful singer, Danny Doyle, one of my favourite ballad singers. And his song, if you haven't played it on your show, you should really try and get it called I Can Almost See Ireland From Here. And it's an American sort of song about living in America, but always thinking about home. And, you know, on mornings like this, when the memories are clear, I can almost see Ireland from here. And I think everybody, no matter where they are, I know that when you're standing at home in Auckland and you can see Kilkerran, and you can see the home place. And I know that your pilgrimage home every 2 years with the family as they've got older and older, and those lovely photographs you send at Christmas of the children growing up, it's still a fundamental part of who and what you are. And, you know, if you spend another 50 years in Auckland, which is a wonderful place for you to be and your family to be there as well, some part of you, I know, will still shed a tear for the home place.
Oh yeah, it's so important, and I do love going home. If you were to pick out a highlight, something that over the last 30 years that you say that put Ireland on the map, what would it be, Angus?
Well, there are so many different things. I think culturally, the fact that we kind of conquered the world with U2, and, you know, in musical terms, I think the love of GAA and all of that has been fantastic. I think the 2003 Special Olympics just focused Ireland in a way that had never been seen before. I don't think any other country has managed to stage the Special Olympics in the way that we have done. And I suppose the peace process, although I have mild concerns that it's becoming a little bit fragile now at the moment, and the impact of Brexit that it may have on the, you know, it's funny, I'm the last person to wave a green flag, but I find the sort of plummy conservative British accents now telling us what shouldn't be doing, mm-hmm. and what, let's hope they'll come to their senses and this, that and the other. I do find that sort of brings in the some sort of bizarre feelings inside that we had got rid of, you know. But I think the peace process, because I started playing music in the 70s, as I was going up and down to the north, and you're seeing the reality of waiting at Auchnacloy checkpoint for 2 or 3 hours to get through to go and play music to people. So the joy of free movement on the island has been fantastic, and I would hate to see anything to damage that or to threaten that. But I suppose it would be fantastic. I think on a similar topic, funnily enough, to see the Queen speaking Irish at Dublin Castle, you know, was remarkable to see. So I do welcome the warmth of the relationship between the two countries, but I do worry about where it's going now. But there have been so many great things over the 30 years that we've seen, and I just think that the pride in, I think Ireland is a more confident country now. I think the people in Ireland are a more confident race. I think we used to kind of tip the forelock to other parts of Europe or England or America or whatever, and I now feel that we as a nation feel we're as good as anyone, whether it's in athletics, in sport, in finance, in aviation, in whatever, and I think that's a really good thing.
Oh yeah, and we saw the excitement recently of the golfer Shane Lowry winning, and the excitement that brought and stuff.
Yes.
And we're going to be speaking to Daniel O'Donnell next. I think Daniel was on the Joe Duffy program, who you produced from time to time, speaking to Shane's grandmother. I think she was Emily. She was what a great excitement.
Wonderful. That was an extraordinary. because I was producing a studio that day in London.
Oh, were you? Brilliant.
She had just been on the news at 1 minute, and normally, as you'd know in radio production, you say, look, well, if somebody's been on, we won't put them on again. But there was something about it. She said, no, look, we're going to stick around. And she was just gold. She was just a one. And then suddenly Daniel rang in himself. And funny, I always think of Daniel when I think of you and think of linking up and all that, because the night that my father, my dad's funeral, he died on a Thursday, but on the Monday we had the funeral, and I came in to pay tribute to my dad that night and do my program, and my guest in studio for the bulk of the show was Daniel.
Oh, really? And, oh, brilliant.
He sat with, and then I finished the program, thanked Daniel, and then introduced Gabriel's Oboe, which we had played at the funeral, and I simply said at the end, good night, Dad. And I'm not joking, Oliver, I got cards and letters and phone calls for years and years and years after, people saying they're in tears just hear me say good night, Dad. It still brings a lot to my soul, but I've always a special place in my heart for Daniel. I think he's one of the nicest guys you could ever meet, and a genuine, lovely Irish, this country and Irish and Western and American singer who has a heart the size of the whole country, I think, you know.
Well, we'll be talking to him in 2 minutes, and I'll pass on your best wishes to him. And Angus, thank you for joining me, and I really enjoy the programmes that you produce and present in RTE, and keep it up. I'm not sure whether I'll be going another 30 years, but you've done at least, I'd say, 40 in the broadcasting game. Maybe a bit more, Angus, have you?
I have indeed. I started music in the 70s, so I'll have to come out and do my Christy Hennessy show for you out in New Zealand. I'd love to do that.
We would love to have you down here. Angus, I'm about to go, or Daniel will be giving out.
Give him a big hug.
I will.
Oliver, congratulations.
Bye now. Thank you, Angus. Bye bye.
I see my home now. Soon I'll see you. We'll talk to the old folk. They're getting on. Treat them to late nights. Sing a few songs. We'll talk of the neighbors and life in the town. There's so much to tell them. The days fly around. This is my homeland, the place I was born in. No matter where I go, it's in my soul. My feet may a thousand places, but my heart will lead me back home to my Donegal. And then tomorrow we'll take a walk down to St. Mary's, to a sheltered spot. We'll kneel and pray there for the ones who have gone, and hope that they're proud of their wandering son. This is my homeland, the place I was born in. No matter where I go, it's in my soul. My feet may wander a thousand places, but my heart will lead back home to my Donegal. This is my homeland, the place I was born in. No matter where I go, it's in my soul. My go. Yes, my heart will lead me back home to my Donegal.
Yes, indeed. The one and only Daniel O'Donnell there and home to Donegal. And I'm not sure if it's Donegal we're going, but we're certainly going to Ireland to speak to Daniel O'Donnell. Daniel, good morning and welcome to joining me here on Ireland Calling as I celebrate 30 years, Daniel.
Good morning and congratulations to you, 30 years. It's a wonderful celebration to be able to celebrate and the time that you've been on radio and all the joy that you've given to so many with your music.
I was looking at my CD collection, even though all my songs are on the phone now, and I think I must have 50 of your CDs, Daniel. So, you've certainly, your music has contributed a lot here to this programme since I started broadcasting 30 years ago. And I've been very lucky to have you here in the studio and talk to you many times. And, of course, you've got many friends here in New Zealand. So where are you at the moment? You're doing a bit of touring at home.
I'm in Kilkenny. We're doing a show in Kilkenny tonight, and we're here. Then we're touring up until the end of the month around Ireland.
All right. And the shows are going well.
Going fine. We were in Galway and Wexford, two nights in Wexford and one night in Galway. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then we're in Cavan tomorrow, Connell, and Bundoran on Friday.
What about, are you dropping in to have a cup of tea with Emily? We were just speaking to Angus McAnally there for 10 minutes, and Angus we were reminiscing on times gone by, but of course he was producing the Joe Duffy programme when Shane Lowry's granny was on there a few weeks ago, and you joined in.
That's
so
brilliant. That was brilliant. Did you get to hear that?
I did. I heard it the following morning. I was listening to a podcast. I couldn't. What a woman. She was unbelievable.
Oh, she was super. What a great singer. My God.
But there's a connection there. Angus was telling me on the night that his dad died, he went into RT to present a programme, an hour-long programme, and you were there with him that night. He said you spent the show with him for about 40 minutes.
That's right.
He talked about... Well, you know what it's like, Daniel. I'm connecting Ireland to New Zealand, New Zealand to Ireland. You travel the world, you play, you see the excitement on people's eyes, immigrants, when you play shows, and you know what it's like to be able to link up people with their homeland.
Well, it's a great thing. I mean, you do get the chance to bring a bit of home to people when you get out there and, sing some of the songs that they know from childhood or whatever. And it really is a privileged position to be in. And for your part, the radio is a wonderful thing because you can be in somebody's house that nobody else is in. And you may be the only guest they get for days on end coming through the radio, and it's a great thing. So, and great commitment for you to have given 30 years. You know, I know you enjoy it, but still, it's a big commitment to do that.
You're right.
Well done.
You come down here, you were here 2 years ago. I know you've got lots of friends here. In fact, John Green just rang me on the way in to pass on his best wishes. I go and visit Jim Gallagher every Sunday. Jim's in a home here in Auckland, but I play a selection of your songs and his ears peps up. But I know every time you came down here, they were always at your concert. Patsy McCahill, you had Patsy's sister Pavlova for you. Pavlova?
That's right, Kathleen always made the Pavlova, but Patsy, I hear from Patsy, and Lily too, down there, I don't know exactly where Lily lives, but they're all Donegal people and connections with Donegal, and always make me feel welcome. We're hoping to come next year again.
Oh, brilliant.
The promoter, which, found it hard to bring the whole show, so we're kind of looking at doing a more acoustic show that will be less expensive to bring.
Oh, good. Oh, yeah.
Right. Hopefully now that will work out. So
what's it like in Kilkenny? Are they confident of beating Tipperary in the Hurling final on Sunday?
Oh, I don't know who's confident of who. It's like a time warp. Kilkenny, Tipperary, Dublin, Kerry.
Mm.
It's like nobody else exists anymore. But anyway, it's an exciting time. Wexford was very much in the mix this year. and of course Tipperary beat them. But great games. I mean, I don't know if people who don't know about hurling or football, really they're missing out on wonderful entertainment. Hurling must be the most skilled, fastest game in the world.
It is, and it should be a great final. We'll be, in a few minutes' time, we'll be off to have a chat to another friend of yours, Mihála Murahertig. Mihála is down in Kerry, and he was down here in March this year for the St. Patrick's celebrations, and we look forward to seeing you back here next year, and please God, Daniel, you'll continue with more and more success. If you were to pick out a highlight over the last 30 years of something happening in Ireland, what would it be? Would it be the peace process, the growth of, you know, your music? Country music is getting very more popular in Ireland these days.
Well, I think the peace in Ireland is the thing that's been was most needed and most, and that's something that we must never ever give any reason to lose.
Daniel, thanks for taking the time to link with me. Good luck with the rest of the shows, and we look forward to seeing you down here sometime next year.
Thanks
early part of the year, you reckon?
You're, you're my alarm clock today. I only just woke when the bell rang.
Well, I'm glad you answered the phone. I was panicking there for a minute. I was about to what do you call it, ring somebody else to see if I got the right number for you. But good man, Daniel. Enjoy your trip up to Cavan tomorrow night. God bless. Bye now. That was Daniel O'Donnell there, live from his hotel room. Yes, I did ring him a bit early. You know, he was performing last night, but great for Daniel to be able to join us on the programme here tonight. You're listening to a special edition of Ireland Calling. Started broadcasting here 30 years ago, just completing 30 years now. And I remember starting in the old Access Community Radio studio, which was in AUT in Wellesley Street. And we were in Auckland, as I said to Rodney earlier on, for every second week for a few months. And then once the cricket season finished, a regular slot became available on a Thursday night. And I did that. And as I mentioned earlier, I had co-presenters down through the years, including the late Liam Cogan. I had Patrick Flynn. Patrick, greetings to you. I had Niamh McMahon. Niamh, the honorary Irish Consul, whose holiday in Ireland at the moment. Niamh co-presented the programme when I was away from time to time, and also Robert Tye came in from time to time. I had Anne Ryan, I had Christine Lydon, and a big hello to a big fan of Daniel's over there in England, Bernie Evans, and Bernie Lipscomb now. Sorry, Bernie. Bernie Glynn, anyways. Bernie lived down here in the early 90s and came in and used to answer the phones when we had prizes to give away, and other sponsors I had, apart from the Hugh Green Group. I remember Kitty O'Brien's, Lord of Mercy and Noel, and the crew down there that supported me. And Guinness came in for a few years as well, and Molly Malone's down there in Wellington. But I enjoy it. It's community radio, and we enjoy there. You might be the only person talking to somebody listening at home, as you maybe are tonight. So we'll play Luke Kelly next, the night visiting song, and I think this is a favourite of Mihála Murahertig's.
I can no longer tarry, this morning's tempest I have to cross, I must be guided without a stumble. And more than me. she's let him in, and they were locked in each other's arms until that long night was done and gone. And when that long night was past and over, and when the small began to grow, he's taken her hand and they've kissed and parted. Then he saddled and mounted and away did go. I must away now, I can no longer tarry. This morning's into the arms I love the most.
I skimmed across black water without once submerging onto the banks of an urban morning that hungers the first light much, much more than the mountains ever do. And she, like a ghost beside me, goes down with the ease of a dolphin and emerges unlearned and harmed. For she is the perfect creature, a natural in every feature, and I am the geek with the alchemist's stone. For all of you who must discover, for all who seek to understand, for having left the path of others, you find a very special hand. And it is a holy thing, and it is a precious time, and it is the only way.
Yes, well, that's Christy Moore there and Bright Blue Rose. I'm still trying to get hold of Micheál. The phone might be switched off, but we'll try him again in a few minutes' time. And just to remind you, you're listening to Ireland Calling, broadcasting here on Wednesday night out of the Planet FM studio in Auckland, Access Radio in Wellington, Access Radio Sunday night, Kapiti Coast Radio Sunday evening, Planet FM in Christchurch on a Saturday night, and on planetaudio.org.nz any other night during the week, listening here in New Zealand or indeed further afield. And I remember for many years we had the programme went live on a Wednesday night into Wellington and Christchurch. And I know that we had many, many people listen. I know we've got quite a few listening, but when it was live on the Wednesday running through the three networks, and I'm pretty sure I started broadcasting nationwide around 1991. And when we started the Links to Ireland, which were sponsored by Telecom for many years, and World Exchange Communications after that, and I know how important that was, bringing people back home to, you know, you could find out exactly what was happening. But now I'm sitting here, phone here in front of me, all my music is on it. I've got RTE there. I could clip in, play a podcast. I've got an iPad with the papers downloaded today. And, you know, you, as I do here on the programme each week, give you the headlines. And as I mentioned, the Leaving Cert results came out yesterday. So people wait now until tomorrow to find out if they've got the places they need at the third level institutions. But the other sad news is, I mentioned last week about a young Irish teenager, Nora Corran. She lived in London with her Irish mother and her French father herself and two members of her family went to Malaysia 2 weeks ago for a long planned holiday in the rainforest area. She disappeared the day after she arrived there, and there's been a search going on for over a week with hundreds of people searching. And the grim news yesterday, after a reward was posted for any information about where she might be, her body was found near a waterfall. So a post-mortem will be carried out today and the cause of death will be known. But as you can imagine, the family are absolutely devastated. It has dominated the news in Ireland over the last week. And as Charlie Collins said there, Brexit is the big issue that's dominating things in Ireland at the moment. And I see the former Chancellor of the Exchequer, Philip Hammond, came out this morning and he says that Johnson has no mandate to pull Britain out of the European Union without, you know, a deal. So, of course, there's still plans for him to catch up with Irish Taoiseach Leo Varadkar in the next in the next week or two. So I think that's going to happen. Right, one of the other songs here that people like and always request is Sean Keen, Home Away From Home. So here he is, Sean, and hopefully we'll find Micheál after this.
At all last night, I stayed up till the dawn, banging out the jigs and reels till everyone had gone, singing some old shut-eyed songs I hadn't sung for years, knocking back the brandy and the beer. Back across the ocean to my home away from home, I'm glad to be returning but sad to have to go. I'd like to find a way to be two places at one time, but it's easy going back again, but it's hard to say goodbye. I had one bag too many just as I was set to leave. I was loaded down with bacon and with sausages and tea, and I couldn't find my ticket as I'm walking out the door, till I emptied all my bags out on the floor. Back across the ocean to my home away from home, I'm glad to be returning but sad to have to go. I'd like to find a way to be two places at one time, but it's easy going back again, but it's hard to say goodbye. I sipped a drink while waiting for the meal, just trying not to let my head know how my stomach feels. There's a baby right behind me making sure that I won't sleep, and the flight's too full to find another seat. Back across the ocean to my home, home, I'm glad to be returning but sad to have to go. I'd like to find a way to be two places at one time, but it's easy going back again, but it's hard to say goodbye. I fell asleep at last just as the plane is touching down, and I aged in years while waiting for the bags to come around. And I make it home at last, and I'm barely unpacked when I'm already making plans to go again. Back across the ocean to my home away from home, I'm glad to be returning but sad to have to go. I'd like to find a way to be two places at one time, but it's easy going back again, but it's hard to say goodbye.
I could cross the ocean to my home away from home. I'm glad to be returning, but sad to have to go. I'd like to find a way to be two places at one time. For it's easy going back again, but it's hard to say goodbye.
Yes, well, unfortunately, we've run out of time. We won't be able to have a chat to Micheál, but we had a chat to him there a few months ago when he was down here in March, and we took him to Eden Park where he saw a Blues game. Well, it'll be all action there at Eden Park on Saturday night when the All Blacks take on the Wallabies in a big match. They've got to win it to retain the Bledisloe Cup. So that's about it. I hope you've enjoyed the programme tonight. It was great to be able to have a chat to Rodney Walsh. Thank you, Rodney, to Charlie Collins in Letterkenny, and to Angus McAnally in Dublin, and to Daniel, who is in Kilkenny after a sellout performance there last night, on his way to Cavan for a show tomorrow. And as I said, great to be able to celebrate 30 years on air here. And thank you, the listeners, because if there was nobody listening, I wouldn't be here each week. And again, thanks to the opportunity that Access Radio, and more recently Planet FM here in Auckland, Wellington Access Radio and Plains FM in Christchurch, and Kapiti Coast Radio have given me to broadcast each to here each week. Don't forget, the All-Ireland Hurling Final is on this weekend between Kilkenny and Tipperary. You can watch it on gaago.ie. You can listen to it on the radio. And thanks again to the Hugh Green Group. We'll leave you tonight. We'll go out tonight with My Heart Is in Ireland, the Wolf Tones. Good night, goodbye, and God bless.
In the East End of London, I met an old man. He kept a bar called Horses and Tram. My parents were Irish, they loved that dear land. The Cockney, he smiled and he shook my old hand. My heart is in Ireland, it's there I long to be. Her hills and her valleys are calling to me. Though born here in this land, my heart is in Ireland. The land of the old folk is calling to me. Near a coal mine in Wales, by a roadside cafe, a young girl came smiling, and to me did say, well, my folks are from Ireland, me dad, he hopes one day, when he leaves the mines, sure we'll go back to stay. My heart in Ireland, is there I long to be. Our hills and our valleys are calling to me. Though born here in this land, my heart is in Ireland. The land of the old folk is calling to me. Then I went through the Midlands, through city and town. I found there were Irish in each place I roamed, and I drank and I sang in a pub they call the Crown. With the Birmingham Irish, we sang songs of home. My heart is in Ireland, it's there I long to be. For here